Thinking about the passage that was just read by Amy certainly does raise a few questions, doesn't it? Something very odd has just happened. But what is the question? Can you imagine what kind of confusion there would be if we suddenly had the late Art Phillips or Ralph Klein, who both passed away on Friday, walking about the respective cities? I mean, there would be confusion. There would be disbelief and maybe even some celebration and some puzzlement as well. The beginning of today's passage certainly is strange. By the middle of the reading, we start to figure things out bit by bit, and Luke is concerned that we understand what it is that we're going to hear, and only then can we, the readers, meet the risen Christ face to face and know who he is and what's actually going on. The opening mood for Easter morning, then, is one of surprise. It's astonishment, fear, confusion, even. Yes, Jesus did say something like this would occur. He told us, all right, but we still don't know what's really going on and what it actually means and what will happen next. Easter is always a surprise, whether we meet it in celebrating the feast itself or in the sudden surges of God's grace overturning tragedy in our own lives or in the world. No doubt our own resurrection will be as much of a surprise in its own way as that of Jesus. From the beginning, the gospel is good news, not least because it dares to tell us things we didn't expect or weren't inclined to believe and maybe even couldn't understand. Did we expect the gospel would be something obvious, something that we could have dreamed up ourselves? This whole event took all of creation by surprise. The drama of being a Christian is resonant in today's passage. The slow, sad dismay at the failure of human hopes, the turning to someone who might or might not help, and the discovery that in Scripture, all unexpected, there lays keys which might unlock the central mysteries and enable us to find the truth, and the sudden realization of Jesus himself present with us, warming our hearts with his truth and showing us himself as bread is broken. This describes the experience so many of us Christ followers have gone through and perhaps are going through, and it goes a long way to explaining what it is about Christianity that grasps us and holds us in the face of so much that is wrong with the world, and maybe even with the church and with ourselves. We understand what it means to have our hopes dashed and our faith extinguished, and that's what's made the crucifixion so devastating. It wasn't just that Jesus was more than a prophet. He was to be the one who would redeem Israel. He had been the bearer of the nation's hopes, and he was now dead and gone. And it was sharper than that for his friends and his disciples. If Jesus had been the one to redeem Israel, he should have been defeating the pagans, not dying at their hands. But they, like everyone else in Israel, had been reading the Bible through the wrong end of the telescope. They had been seeing it as the long story of how God would redeem Israel from suffering. But it was instead the story of how God would redeem Israel through suffering. Through, in particular, the suffering which would be taken on himself by Jesus, Israel's Messiah. And now here he is, standing before everyone, and no one recognizes him. People often think that resurrection simply means life after death, or going to heaven. But in the Jewish world of the first century, it meant a new embodied life in God's new world. In fact, it was a life after death. Think about that for a moment. It was a life after death. But the new body which will be given at the end is not identical to the previous one. In an act of new creation, parallel only to the original creation itself, God will make a new type of material, no longer subject to death, but it was made of the old stuff. In Jesus' case, of course, this happened right away. Without his original body decaying, he was actually transformed from the old one. And for the rest of us whose bodies will most likely decay and whose bones may actually be burned, it will take a complete act of new creation for this miracle to occur. Now, this new body, and this is the point, this new body will belong in both dimensions of God's world, in both heaven and on earth. At the end of the book of Revelation, heaven and earth will be finally joined together into one so that there won't be any moving back and forth between the two dimensions. The two dimensions will be fused together at last. So Jesus is in their midst and with his friends, and yet they didn't quite recognize him. It wasn't, however, that they simply couldn't recognize him. There was something that was different about him. And there was nothing in the Jewish resurrection hope to indicate that this would actually happen. It seems that Jesus' body emerging from the tomb had been transformed. It looked a little bit different. It was the same, yet it was different. It was a mystery which we shall never unravel until we ourselves share that same risen life. But the fact that they couldn't recognize Jesus at first seems to have gone with the fact that they couldn't recognize the events that had just happened as the story of God's redemption. Perhaps Luke is saying that we can only know Jesus and we can only recognize him in any sense when we learn to see him through the true story of God, the true story of Israel and the world. And for that, we need to learn how to read the scriptures, my brothers and sisters. And for that, we need as our teacher the risen Lord himself. This passage forms one of the most powerful encouragements to pray for his presence and sense of guidance. Whenever we study the Bible, individually or in pairs or in larger groups, and we need to be prepared for him to rebuke our foolish and faithless readings and to listen for his fresh interpretation. Only with him at our side will our hearts burn within us, as in verse 32, and lead us to the point where we see him face to face. In today's reading, Luke has described for us, as he said he would, the new exodus that Jesus would accomplish at Jerusalem. The real slave master keeping the human race in bondage is, in fact, death itself. Earthly tyrants borrow power from death to boost their rule, and that's why crucifixion was such a symbol of Roman authority. Victory over death robs the powers of their main threat. Sin, which means humans rebelling against God and so conspiring with death to deface God's good creation, is likewise defeated. Jesus has led God's new people out of slavery, death, and now he invites them to accompany him on the new journey to the promised land. The road to Emmaus is just the beginning. Hearing God's voice in Scripture, knowing him in the breaking of bread, is the actual way that he leads. And so what? Some of us might ask, what's the point of Jesus dying and rising again? I mean, it's great for him to be alive again, but what does it have to do with the rest of us, we might ask? I expect that that answer will take a lifetime and most likely the entire history of the church to work out. But let me close with this. The church is to be rooted in Scripture and active in mission. Verse 47 says, repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to all nations. And that's the commission that Jesus leaves us with as he ascends. Brothers and sisters, as we go from here, may our lives be the message that the world needs to hear. May our lives declare that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has indeed risen again. May we continue to raise up in prayer our brothers and sisters in Christ worldwide, as Al has so aptly made clear, that's just represented in our church alone. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters, especially those in the persecuted church. But let us also remember our neighbors and our brothers and sisters who do not know Christ as Savior. Let us proclaim together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, He is risen. Thanks be to God. I'm going to ask the communion servers and Al and the worship team to come forward, and I want to close with a word of prayer by Brian McLaren as they come forward. Would you pray with me? Lord, we pray for the simple joy of women and men standing in the presence of women and men, daring to proclaim and echo the good news. Risen indeed, alleluia. For death is not the last word. Violence is not the last word. Hate is not the last word. Money is not the last word. Intimidation is not the last word. Political power is not the last word. Condemnation is not the last word. Betrayal and failure are not the last word. No. Each of them are left like rags in a tomb, and from that tomb arises Christ, alive. Amen.